listening? It is I, Numator479. According to our studies of your puny mammalian race, we discovered you like very good coffee. And while it is our evolutionary purpose to cause you psychic torment, we want you awake and vivacious to give it. So try our new blend from Springhill Jack Coffee, Reptilian in the Morning. Our proprietary blend of lightly roasted cacao husks will have you immediately energized upon emerging from the pain cloaca with all your slippery new eggs. Thanks, honey. Hot, I'm cold-blooded. Thanks to Springhill Jack and Last Podcast on the Left, I'm ready to get out there and eat some babies. Get out of the way, Hillary Clinton.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last
Podcast
on the Left.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I like how today's episode was supposed to like not be heavy or scary, right? Because it's True Crime Roundup.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we're kind of like, you know, we'll like see some fun true crime stories and get into it. And then you showcase the scariest story I've read in months.
Really? I would guess that would be the mushroom trip one?
Yeah. That's a scary ass story.
It's terrifying. Don't know anything.
Have you not read any of these?
No, I wanted it to be a surprise. I wanted to bring it to him roundtable style, but he doesn't know anything.
That's great. I like to keep you a virgin. I'm just gonna go sleep. What a great function. What a great third mic.
Welcome to the Last Podcast on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcus Parks.
I'm Henry Zansky.
And I am Ed Larson. What's up?
Yeah,
baby?
Whoa, Ed Nation.
Woo,
going wild. I can hear.
Bang, bang, bang.
No.
Bang, bang.
I got shot. But this story, this is not going to be pleasant for you, Eddie, because this is horrible.
Okay. Are you afraid of flying?
No, I love it.
No, but it's not about it. I'm not afraid of flying, but I'm afraid of people.
Of course.
And what they do.
This is very much a story about the human element.
Yeah.
The human element gone wrong, how one guy can really fuck things up for a lot of people.
Like it's that just, German bastard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also probably the guy with the Malaysian flight, but we don't really know.
You
That's still
so?
A mystery. They're saying that they do believe that it was purposefully downed.
Oh.
But we don't know why.
Maybe the blindfold got in the way.
I tried to show everyone how good of a pilot I am. I can do it by sticking his hand out the window, like feeling the air drift.
Well, let's do it. The off-duty pilot who almost brought down a passenger jet while tripping on magic mushrooms has broken his silence over the quote-unquote imaginary journey that almost ended in tragedy.
I can't believe he's allowed to break his own silence. This is a scary-ass story, and also he wasn't currently tripping on mushrooms.
Well, I mean, it is debatable as to whether he was still suffering from the effects of hallucinogens.
He ate it two days earlier.
That's still, no, for mushrooms? This is giving mushrooms a bad name. This guy's a psychopath, and he's fucking calling it out on the mushrooms.
We'll get there. We'll find out.
We'll get there. Joseph Emerson, 44, said he took the psychedelic drugs 2 days before the fateful flight on October 22nd, while on a weekend getaway to remember his best friend.
Yes.
And that, I think, is, you know, we always talk about with psychedelics, set and settings. This guy was out on like somewhat of a trip with his buddies to remember a buddy, like the best man at his wedding had died.
Yes, in 2018, one of his best friends died, and even his wife said he was never the same. But he is a true blue pilot. Joseph Emerson was this guy that was, he dreamed and trained to be a pilot his whole life. He was really, really excited about it. But I guess I was sort of reading, because in the New York Times article that was about this man, talking about the interview with him, one of the things that came out was that I guess with pilots, they're not, well, how do you put it? You can go and say you're having mental health issues to your boss. But if you go on medication, or if they decide to, for a long time, you were not allowed to have any sort of mental health issue that involved medication and be a pilot at the same time.
Yeah.
They didn't allow it. But then he went in, he was like, I've been sad ever since my friend died. And so like, well, you know, we could get you on medication, but that grounds you. They actually, now it's, they put you on a period of sort of like they watch you for a while, but it turns out he was sad for like a minute and then didn't really do anything about it because he didn't want to lose his momentum in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to find pilots, too, these days. There's a pilot shortage. They're always going on fucking strike. They're underpaid.
I don't know. Honestly, I went to the Barney's Beanery and I met like 15 of them.
Yeah.
Well, the Alaska Airlines pilot and father of two says he was in a sleepless stupor for the next 48 hours after taking mushrooms, questioning reality while suffering repeat panic attacks. In an interview with the New York Times from county jail, Emerson offered a disturbing glimpse into the bizarre near catastrophe where he almost killed 83 people, urinated on himself, stripped naked, tried to masturbate to break him out of his own stupor.
I've done it before and it works.
Get the devil out.
You got to.
Yeah, yeah. It's the evil in your body. You gotta fucking let it leak out. Yeah.
Let your penis be your guide.
Yeah. And he tried to flee custody. He's facing 83 counts of attempted murder, one for everyone on board.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fucked.
He's very fucked. So he took these mushrooms and he was hanging out with his buddies. And he said in the middle of it, he became, which I know this very feeling. He said that they did a big bonfire and they did the very classic. It was six days before he was going to be on a plane again. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting with him and they're like, you know, we're here for this weekend. You should try mushrooms. And he had never done mushrooms. He said he even voided when guys were smoking weed. He'd leave.
44 is way too old to do mushrooms for the first time.
Especially
like with buddies. Like, I know, like, right now, mushrooms are doing really well with, you know, sort of, what do you call it, psychiatric help. But
sure.
That's, like, under the care of a doctor.
Yeah.
That's great. But just doing it with your buddies, like, while you're laser focused on the death of your best friend. It's a bad idea.
And like your random bro doesn't exactly know, because every bag of mushrooms is different.
Yeah. All of them are
different. They're always, so you never know how much to really take. Here's a little tip for you people. If there's a lot of blue in there, that's going to be a wild ride.
Oh yeah. And yes. A little one that is all blue is way, way stronger than a big one that is mostly white. Yeah.
Gold flakes are good too. Gold flakes.
That's how you know it's going to be fucking killer. And you're like, fuck yeah, bro. But we're talking about when it goes wrong. Now, this guy, the problem is, I push back. I don't think that the age is the issue. I think it's what you're saying. It's amount.
Yeah.
Is that when you go and you go get micro dose treatment from an actual psychiatrist, they measure it out. It's all ground out. It's grown in a lab. It's like made specifically for it. And they do it in very precise amounts. And is what we also know, which we'll say about any drug, take less than you think.
Yeah.
Because you can always take more. You can't untake.
That's
what
right.
You've already taken.
Yes.
And so it sounds like he took the drugs and he was like, this is cool. This maybe helped me. And then he became fixated on the flames and then got deep into the bonfire.
Well, nothing looks cooler than a bunch of fire when you're on mushrooms.
But then he said he started to slide. He started going, being like, this is groovy. It's cool. But then he did the thing where he thought about every mistake he's ever made.
Never a good idea.
But again, it's hard. It's hard to do it because, again, it's a psychedelic. You don't know where that horse is going to go sometimes.
Well, especially if your buddies are just sort of leaving you alone to stare into the fire. And also, you got to tell people.
So, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to use your words.
Yeah, you got to tell people. But not
I'm freaking out here. Here's the words. I'm freaking out here, man.
Yeah. The old thing I always tell people is, like, if you start to freak out, remind yourself you have taken drugs and you can think about this again and 4 to 6 hours.
Yes, it's going to be over. This whole drug experience is going to be over unless you're Joseph Emerson and then it lasts for a bunch of days and you try to kill everybody in a plane.
Yeah. He was off duty and should have had an easy flight to San Francisco ahead of him.
Yes.
He sat up in the cockpit, so he wasn't actually flying the plane. But the other pilot said he quickly showed signs of erratic behavior, and as the plane reached cruising altitude, I don't know why I relate to this so much. I know this moment. He threw off his headset and declared, I'm not okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know the exact feeling. So he said he walked into the airport. The first thing was, and this is how I know. This is also a good for you to know when you know whether or not it's good for you to start driving yet after a party. When he walked into this airport, he was like, everything's different, but it's wrong. And then they're saying, like, security's like doing it wrong.
Yeah.
This is not the way they're doing it out of order. They're saying weird things to me. He started saying, I'm not understanding what people are saying to me. He keeps texting his wife, just being like, I'm not doing good. I'm like, which I've been in a panic state. We're being like, I just want to fucking be back with you, baby.
Yeah.
You know, and she's just like, ugh. You know, it's getting intense. And then he goes into the airport. He said nothing was done right. And then he got on and then he was texting with his wife on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
basically, then he said something to his buddies being like, going back and forth, I think something's going on with me, blah, 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 one of the last messages. And then finally, he just threw the headphones off.
Well, what happened is that he got a text-to-voice message in his... He had AirPods on, and he got a text in, and it read the text over his AirPods, and for some reason, that freaked him out. I don't know what it was.
Pisses me off as well.
I don't like it either. I don't like it. And it's probably one of those where, you know, like, Google News Alert, colon. You know, like a long headline. You have those ones where it just sends you some weird spam one and it reads every letter of it. And
microplastics consuming your body.
It is me, Andrea Schmitz, and I'm asking you for your donation. The only thing that stands between us and tyranny is... $4 sent to me, Andrea Schnitz.
No, it's always I'm sitting there, like, listening to something and having a really good time, really getting into it. And then it'll be like, message from Ed Larson.
Hey, fuck, you want big meat?
Look at this crocodile. It is big. Would you like to respond?
Yeah, I can't stop. Just get away from me.
That's very accurate.
Well, suddenly, Emerson grabbed the plane's overhead emergency fire suppression handles, leading to a desperate struggle between himself and the pilots to keep the jet in air.
Yeah. So he said that he felt he was caught in a dream.
Yeah.
And he didn't know if anything was real or not. And then he was going to be like, you're not real. You're not real. Bad. That's two times this year.
Yeah.
We got people calling people not real on a plane. Not good.
No.
Yeah. I think it says something about the election cycle coming up.
The air madness.
Yeah, air madness. Can't wait to start going back on tour. And so he said, you're not real. And he said the way to prove that this was not real was to try to kill himself and everybody in this plane. So that pole handle is what cuts the gas immediately to the engines in case of fire.
Yeah.
So he pulled it. They all freaked out. They called it a medical emergency.
He tried to pull it. He didn't pull it.
But they ended up having, they still have it. But then he begged to be tied down.
Well, first, before he begged to be tied down, he started walking up and down the aisles of the plane. He's like, Nobody's bothered. Nobody's paying attention to me. I think this is still a dream.
Yeah.
Like he still hadn't yet fucking
realized
it.
Was he dressed like a pilot?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think you do have to have
if you're going to sit in the cockpit.
I believe you have to have a uniform, which is, again, I'm seeing a pilot just fucking stress pace around the body of an airplane. I'm pulling the fucking emergency handle. You get me off this fucking plane. Yeah. I need my pilot to literally be unflappable.
Yeah, I understand that, like, tie me down thing.
Yeah,
like, because if you're flipping out, you know you're flipping out. I remember, not to go back into the whole getting arrested thing, I remember when I was getting arrested by an undercover cop, he had a gun in my face, and he got me on the ground, and I went on the ground, he's got a gun pressed against the back of my head, and then I see them storm my friend's apartment, and I hear a gunshot, they shot a dog, I'm like, are you a cop? And he's like, yeah.
Yes, actually.
They cuffed me, because I'm flipping out.
Yeah, because
I'm going to do something stupid if you don't fucking cuff me.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Well, this guy said, like, that he had that sort of thing that you have. I thought a lot of traumatic things in that time where I was like, am I dead? Is this hell? And guess what, guys? You're never dead.
No.
It's never hell.
No.
Like, it's...
Because you won't be thinking those thoughts.
It's your buddy's room.
You don't have thoughts.
Yeah. You'll be dead.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, you ain't thinking like Joe anymore.
Well, in the timeline, what happened next, it's alleged that the pilots grabbed hold of his wrists after he pulled the emergency stop and shunted them back into place before the engines cut off in a terrifying near miss. So I guess he did pull it, but they were able to put it back in a place. Mm. Emerson then left the cockpit quickly and walked down the plane where he still thought he was dreaming, as nobody on board seemed to be aware of or have any reaction to his attempt to bring the plane down. On the ground, police rushed the Portland runway after a pilot warned, "We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit." He was cuffed and restrained to the jet, but had enough space to move around that he chugged straight from a pot of coffee as he continued to act erratic.
That's exactly what he needed.
That's a perfect time to renounce Springhill Jack's new coffee line, Reptilian in the Morning. And just in case you too are looking for the strength to defy an entire flight attendant team, have Reptilian in the Morning and you'll be ready to go.
And apparently that did wake him up, because he said he was able to reach his phone and send a text to his friends from the getaway where he told them, "I'm having a mental breakdown and tried to turn off both engines on my flight home." In a separate text to his wife, he simply said, "I've made a big mistake.
See, that shows clarity began to set in. But he did remove his clothes, and he had covered himself in his own piss, right?
He tried to jump out of a window. He urinated on himself and attempted to masturbate in crazed efforts to wake himself up.
Jump out of a window on an airplane?
I think you're
he was on the ground.
Oh, by then,
he was on the ground, he stripped naked. He tried to jump out of a window. Okay. They had him in a holding room, and he tried to jump out of a window.
You know,
then he urinated on himself, and he tried to, like, jerk himself awake, which is a weird way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's on shrooms, so, you know, his pathways are running differently.
It's been days. He's no longer on shrooms.
But seriously, some people, psychedelics, they're not for everybody.
Especially a lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think do they say in the New York Times article how much he took? Did they just say it was? Yeah,
it's so, just too much. A buddy's amount. Yeah, obviously too much.
Obviously,
he saw the
way
fear,
too much.
Man. He got the fear.
He got the fear, and it did not leave him. I think you'd get one cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then build.
Yeah.
Build it.
You start with a bit. This is the most interesting part.
Okay.
His wife, Sarah Stretch, added that when he called her from custody, he was so out of his mind, he began singing Boys to Men's hit song, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
I mean, is one of those. That's a scary song in that context. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good...
How does that song go again?
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to...
Wait, are they here?
We can't hit Boyz II Men harmonies.
Are they here?
I love sending that video to people on their birthday.
I love that.
That's my go-to move.
I actually can't believe that's one of the only Boyz II Men songs that I'm not that familiar with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was like the most popular one.
Maybe if I just hear it again.
Dead people.
Yeah, it's a funeral song,
it's
right?
It's a funeral song.
Well, I know that, you know, the, what's it, the...
Graduations.
Do we come... To the end of the road. They said a lot of songs about dead friends. Down on Bended Knee is about dead friends.
Motown Philly, everyone dies.
Everyone dies. Motown.
And I think that, like, we need not air marshals, but every flight should have a bouncer.
Psychiatrist.
Bouncer who is like, the pilot is direct line to the bouncer. We need this guy restrained.
That guy's gonna get laid.
Him
up there, tatted out, just been like,
yeah, my job here is just make sure you're safe.
Yeah. That soft swat, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's got the kind of Vin Diesel tattoos.
Yeah, you put him, you make sure he's the only guy on the plane who never sits down.
Yeah.
He always stands at the front with the bouncer look where he's crossing his arms.
Yeah, exactly. You just strap his legs in.
D's on the other side. D's on the other side. You went across to the other side, right?
Yeah, you're loading the plane. He's like, ID.
What are you getting into tonight? How are you feeling tonight? Doing good? You've had too much?
Yeah.
Too much? I mean, like, looking back and forth, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, cutting people off when they drank too much.
Yeah.
We need bouncers on flight.
He's just another flight attendant.
Yeah, like, but his job is to just make sure no one gets out of hand.
Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah,
and I could actually see a very large woman as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man, nothing scarier than the small bouncer, though.
Yeah,
small bouncers got training.
Yeah. They could put you in like a scissor hold or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Arm bars and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just put it like in the fine print every time you buy an airline ticket that you may be restrained on this flight. If you fuck up.
Yeah. You're like, yes, please.
Yeah.
You see those guys being like, I'm being bad. I'm a bad little guy on a flight. I'm going to need to be restrained.
I had a lady next to me have to get restrained once. She just like, she came on hammered on pills. You know, I started drinking at the bar and I was like, oh, this woman is hammered. And then I started walking on my plane. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then she sat across the aisle from me. And then at some point in the flight from LA to New York, she decides to fucking just start screaming and like, scratching the girl in the middle seat, like scratching her face.
Jeez.
Like she's like bleeding out of her face and shit.
When was this?
This was like a year and a half ago.
Cool.
And then they had and then literally some poor flight attendant had to go over there and literally hold her down for 3 hours so we didn't have to land early.
Jesus.
You know, so like this.
That's a good flight attendant.
That's a great flight attendant.
Yeah.
I told them, I'm like, I saw her drinking at the bar. She got hammered. It's her friends in the back. Cause I saw she was getting hammered with a friend and I ratted her out and they gave me $50.
Yeah. hell yeah. You got a stool pigeon.
You got a bounty?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
I saw the strangest video the other day of like this dude that was nodding off on an airplane and was barely conscious, and he just pulled out a pack of smoke and just lit up a fucking cigarette right on the airplane. And like he's sitting there and he's like smoking, like, and someone comes up, like the flight attendant comes and like taps him on the shoulders, like, and just sort of points, and he goes, like, he just got really scared.
He
like
forgot
like,
where the hell he was. He literally just forgot where he was.
Idea.
He was in a chair someplace else.
Yeah, he was in a chair someplace else. He's like, fuck. And started putting it out. He's like,
I'm sorry.
What, that's like $1,000 mistake, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's such a huge mistake. Oh, man, it's such a massive fucking mistake. This guy says, I don't know if I'll ever fly an airplane again. I really don't.
I
think that if he doesn't get booked for 83 counts of attempted manslaughter, he probably should at least not fly again.
Well, not in America.
No.
Send him to Malaysia.
Well, at this point, he says he's trying to be as transparent as possible as to what happened. He's trying to tell everybody, hey, this is what happened.
I put the transparent transportation.
But you know what, Mrs. Stress definitely said it wasn't the Joe I knew.
Nope.
And I think that's always good, because can you imagine if it was like, yep, that's Joe. What did he do? Let me guess. It was a Joe.
Yeah, I figured it was Joe.
Yeah.
He's always trying to crash the car.
That's him. That's his thing.
And he kept asking, you know, is this situation real? Is this real? He'd ask the flight attendants. He was just asking everyone, like, is this real? And then when he was told what he had done, he responded, if this is real and all of that was real, then I have done something that is unfathomable.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, because it really did scramble his brains.
Oh, it did. It was bad for him. It was bad for him.
Yeah.
And again, you just can't. You got to know your limitations.
Yeah, also, I put this on his friends, too.
I put this 100% on his friends.
Yeah. You never know.
Every time I give a new person drugs, I sit there, I talk to them about it before they do it.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens if it goes wrong. Like, I'm here for you. Like, it's like, no. And you give them a little bit and you ease them in. His friends fucked them up. They probably thought it was funny.
They're all adults. Who fucking knows? I think that if you're in there and you decide to take mushrooms, you just have to understand. If you're a pilot. Yeah. Again, we're comedians. Technically, if I go insane for a while,
nothing really happens.
No one will know. You mean you won't even know?
Wait till like, everyone's on fire last week.
Yes, exactly. When I have dementia, no one's gonna know. Yeah. Everyone's gonna think it's a funny bit that I'm doing. I show up and, like, you know, when they wheel me out to a retrospective for the In Memory of Podcasts 2006 to 2035, it's gonna cut to me and I'm going, hair Satan. And that's all I'm going to be able to say, you know?
This guy made my pants my shirt. Look, oh, his old bit.
Wow, his bit. You don't know it's a cry for help. You know, I need to be at home. You're going to take my driver's license away from me.
He stretched all of his fingers out in a dimension ridden rage, and now he's big hands.
He is big hands.
Look at his massive hands.
But a pilot needs to really keep your head on tight.
Yeah, especially if you got a flight. Like, if you are on a 3-week vacation and you're on day one, then yeah. Mushrooms are good, but if you got to fly in 2 days,
No.
That's not good at all.
That's a little close.
That's really close.
Even for drinking, that's close.
Well, yeah, 8 hours is the cutoff for pilots.
Yeah, I mean, it should be 12.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I wouldn't even take like a big dose of mushrooms if we had a big show in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it could possibly, you know,
it throws your brain off.
Your perspective gets shift for a little while.
It's a vacation drug.
Yes. Yeah, and you also do it yourself. You know, and I believe that we should be taking it more seriously and more pointedly.
What, the
mushrooms? Doing psychedelic trips with intentions in mind. I taking boomers for parties are fun, but I think it's important to think about your spiritual health.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
I did it for 3 days straight last week. It was great.
Yeah, he's loved it.
I went to a jazz festival. I was having a great time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, but you're also,
that's what you're supposed to do.
But you're also an extremely experienced psychedelic user.
Yeah, no, I love my mushrooms. I started at 16. I'm fine. Yeah.
You have a layer of mushrooms around your belly like you're a giant beef Wellington.
No, you have a very strong mind. You have a very strong will, which
Thank
is
you.
What makes you very good at doing magic mushrooms. But if you're like grieving for your best friend,
I would never.
Not the time.
I remember one time I did mescaline after one of my good friend's mom died. It was awful.
Yeah, it was really awful.
Man. I was like, oh, never again. But that was like a learning experience that you do in your 20s.
Yeah. And it's not 44 when you're a fucking airline pilot.
It's very hard.
But on the other hand, he wasn't flying. He was only supposed to ride, but even then I'd feel weird about doing a bunch of mushrooms and then going on a plane for a while. Yeah.
I could see how we chanced it though.
Yeah. I mean, I did have a good friend, my friend Tom in college. Like we came up to New York for a CMJ, the big like college music journal. There was a big festival they used to do. And he like right before, like we got on the plane in Dallas and right before he looked over at me, his pupils were like the size of fucking saucers. And he's like, I just took a lot of acid. But the thing was, is that Tom was an extremely experienced psychedelic user. Yeah. He was an older student.
Yeah,
he was older than us. He was great at what he did. But he just sat there and just looked out the window for 4 hours. And then like at the end of the flight, like he looked over at me and was like, that was incredible.
Jesus Christ. That's only a quarter of the time left you have on acid.
No, yeah. But that's the thing is that as we landed in the plane, it was the first time any of us had been to New York City. We landed, we took the shuttle like from Queens into Manhattan.
Yeah.
And we took it into Manhattan and the vibes are so good. All of us were like so excited and so cool. And he just like, the van stops and he just gets out and just goes.
Like, yeah!
Like, he just fucking goes. And he, like, comes back with weed.
Yeah.
He's like, I got his fucking weed,
guys. You can work magic when you're on acid.
Yeah. You just ask questions. Yeah. You're just curious.
And I saw him, like, because he brought a fair amount with him. And like, I saw him, like, two more times the whole, like, the 5 days that we were there. And then, like, we got back. He showed up on time. We met. I was like, man, how was New York? He's like,
you know, man.
So fucking good, man.
This is
so
a rare
good.
Story. This is a rare story, the fact that he showed up back on time. A lot of those stories end with being restrained in a currently downed airplane while two people, you're covering your own piss and you're trying to ejaculate to get yourself out of a dream.
Tom was a rare bird, though.
Yeah.
Tom was he was the first one who gave me mushrooms. He guided me on my first psychedelic trip.
You got to. What you do, it's your responsibility.
Yeah. That's what I did with Wendy. When I took her through her first trip, I'm a great dog shaman.
Die from your grave.
Are you guys ready for a Polish story?
Oh man, this is fucking
yum. Give me some.
This fucking guy.
Dime me bougie. Let's give me a kiss.
Yeah. This is a really funny, stupid story.
A Polish man has been arrested after he pretended to be a mannequin in front of a store window before stealing from the shopping center after it closed.
Dude,
this was in Warsaw.
Look at this. Look at this pose. I love this man.
He's a regular man. He's holding a shopping bag out with his arms stretched.
Give himself a charm. Put your arms to the side, you Polak.
It's so funny. But it's also such a dumb Polish idea, too. It's the idea of like,
I'm going to stand still.
We'll notice. But no one did notice.
Well, no one noticed until the fuck. There were CCTVs everywhere.
Well, the thing is that you could stand there still all you want, right? And people walk past you and be like, why does that guy act like a mannequin? But no one's going to bother you. Meanwhile, he's sitting there and be like, these fuckers all think I'm a fucking mannequin. And we're like, I am crushing.
You are breathing.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, you're smoking.
You smell like sausage, sir. Sweat. Imagine you have your arm out for that long. Sweat that has been pouring off of him.
I'm just drinking the, what's it, the Kwiatkowski? What is the name of that Polish beer in New York?
Oh, quick.
Yeah, quick.
Quick, yeah. Well, police said the man went on to rob a jewelry stand once the shopping center had closed. On another occasion, he went into a restaurant to eat before slipping under the roller shutters at the entrance to a store to swap his clothes for new ones after he returned to have some more food. And he was eventually spotted by security personnel who called the police because there's just a guy wandering around the fucking mall stealing shit and like breaking into the food court.
How is no one surprised and scared of new living mannequin? How could no one say, have you not seen mannequin Troish? This is me.
I am the first mannequin with driver's license. The
first one to go to grocery store to push a bucket. First mannequin to spend his time stealing jewelry from outside store in which he is in his home.
Police will also allege the man stole from another shopping center where they say he took money from cash registers and tried to steal other items after it closed. So he tried it once and it worked.
I am just an innocent mannequin. I do not understand your rules and your laws. How can I be held subject to this when I have recently been plastic and now I am flesh?
I was princess in ancient times.
You know, the two Polish robbers. Investigators like,
you know, this is new realm of rules.
We have never dealt with magical creature who has done petty thefts.
How do we reason with him?
Do we have any scientists in Poland left?
Can you please show me how you go back to mannequin?
Oh my God.
Wake up! Wake up!
Well, he's not waking up, so I guess maybe we can just go home now.
No. No, we should really prove if he is mannequin or not. Play with his balls. Let us have sex with this mannequin.
Oh my God, he is hard.
That's it. That's all the story. Dude's facing 10 years in prison.
Yeah, 10 years.
That's a lot for pretending to be a mannequin.
Well, it's all stealing. The theft.
Yeah.
That's a lot for the theft.
Grand larceny. Because he stole a lot of jewelry.
Oh, come on.
It was many. You know what it was, too? I think it was the many stores.
Yeah.
And I feel like in Poland, too, it's way more being like, we need to discourage this type of fake mannequin activity. Because once they see it is happening in this one way, in successful way, because technically he had an incredible night. Yeah. They will all do it.
10 years is way too. A couple months.
I also feel like Polish prison is not where you want to be.
No, man.
You never know with those Eastern European countries. They do it right. Sometimes is Polish prison bad?
Yeah. Polish prison's probably just a mansion. They don't know.
Oh my God, look at this.
Inmates at a prison in Poland have faced physical and mental torture, including beating, suffocation, and waterboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do that here too.
Yeah. It's not in comparison.
My Polish uncle was a jail guard in New Jersey, and I imagine that was probably brutal.
Yeah, I guess in nonviolent, they said they do it. If you're violent, it's more intense, obviously. The fact the less cell causes attention, the better guards just need to do a count. Oh, here is this.
Prisons in Poland are generally overcrowded and underfunded. The conditions in many facilities are poor with inadequate sanitation and medical care. Again, not different from American prisons.
No. It's not that different. But still, I wouldn't want to do it.
No, I absolutely would not. The overall situation in Polish prisons is a cause for concern for human rights organizations.
Oh, sure.
Where do you think prisons are worse? In Georgia, the country, or the state?
I say the country.
I don't know. State's pretty bad. That guy just got eaten to death by bedbugs.
Yeah, that's right.
That is bad. That is a bad one.
That's a long
process.
But how much
do we not know about what happens in Georgia?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. We don't know anything about a Georgian prison. And I don't think that they're doing, like, Shakespeare plays. I don't think that they're teaching them how to cut hair. I don't think they're not.
John Waters isn't coming in to teach them like how to write screenplays.
No, I don't think so. At least we have that in some states.
Yeah. John Waters.
Well, Georgia prison crisis worsens amid federal investigation.
Oh, yes, very much so. That's not good. No, none of it's good.
Which one? State or country?
State.
Yeah.
They won't tell me about the country at all. Because there's quite a bit of news about Georgia, the state, that is really pushing all the country down.
Oh, man, they were still using floppy disks for all their medical records. My buddy was, like, fucking fighting them.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all backlogged, and they refused to fix it.
My God.
You got to do it. We'll get there. And we're going to fix it.
Last podcast on the left
is going to do it with our last podcast army. You're going down there, and we're going to open up these floppy disks, and we're going to do it ourselves.
You get down there, Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, Stacey Abrams. Because she listens. I get a message all the time. Yeah. She actually had a lot to say about how if you can buy sex worker shit and mail it.
She did?
Oh, yeah. Stacey Abrams.
Did she tell her personal opinion or what the statute is in Georgia?
She says what she's always dealt with, which she said it barely makes the envelope because she's too busy just eating it like loaves of bread. I love her. I'm so glad to have her as a listener. Now, this is another. What an inspiring woman. She is. She is. Do you remember when we did the show before her?
Yes.
She was in the same venue as us the next night.
We were doing a show in South Carolina. Or no, it was Virginia.
That might have been Des Moines.
It was East Coast. Anyway, long story.
Georgia, baby?
Long story
no.
short. No, it
no.
was like, but it was around Georgia. Long story short, we did a show. Like, it was our name on the marquee, and it was like, tomorrow, Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. But those Abrams heads were still, like, lining up. They had the foam fingers. Mm-hmm. Great night entertainment. Her new fucking, have you seen her new special? Canceled. It's crazy. Just caution tape over her mouth. It's amazing. Now, here's another guy who wasn't built for prison. I love this story.
Okay.
Like, talking about prison and when it's bad to be in prison. Sometimes, though, if you're in Italian prison, it doesn't sound that bad. Remember Bunga Bunga Rooms?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Berlusconi died a while back.
Sexiest president.
A judge recently released a 35-year-old man from prison over health concerns, with one concern being that the 430-pound murderer would not be able to obtain a low-calorie diet while incarcerated in an Italian prison. He ate his way out of prison.
That's wow, the hero.
That's a goal,
that's
man.
The fucking hero, man.
Holy shit.
I talk about how fat you got to be in Italy.
Yeah. Well, Italy is surprisingly thin people.
Yeah, they look good.
He was in jail for stabbing his girlfriend 57 times because she reprimanded him for leaving too many crumbs on a hotel bed.
But then he ate himself up and out of prison.
God damn.
It's all coming up. Dimitri Ficano.
Dimitri Ficano.
So Dimitri, he couldn't get in and out of his cell anymore? Or?
Well, they just weren't able to take care of him. They weren't equipped to deal because he had to use a wheelchair. He went from a little over 250 to 430. He had to use a wheelchair and crutches to move, and the prison's layout is not well equipped for those tools. So they figure instead of retrofitting the entire prison
for him,
just fucking put an ankle bracelet on him, send him home, and
ankle belt.
It's so fucked because so his family is like the family of the murdered woman is like they're devastated, they can't do it, but don't worry, the Italian prison system has promised the victim's family the day his weight drops enough that we can fit him back into prison, he's going right back in. And they were all like, he gonna stay fat now. You know he's gonna stay fat now.
You should have said nothing.
You should have said nothing. Because he's gonna just be like, you can just see him all day. It's so difficult to stay so fat when you cannot do it in Italy. It's all the walking.
Yeah, do you think Italian prisons serve Italian food?
Yeah.
Like, is it just like fucking pasta and spaghetti?
When I was in Italy for 10 days, I was like, can I not eat spaghetti?
You moron.
It's the Three Amigos joke. Do you have anything besides Mexican food?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just food there.
Yeah.
We call it Italian food. Those guys? They're just like, that's food.
Yeah, the bucatelli.
Yeah, man. Can you imagine how fun that is? You saw Goodfellas.
He slices the garlic paper thin so it melts into the sauce.
With the razor blade.
A little razor blade. Mm-hmm. These guys are fucking, honestly, I bet you the food in prison there is not bad.
Oh, I imagine it's great. What else they got to do?
You got fresh bread. Best ingredients on the fucking face of the planet are in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Woo.
According to the outlet,
I'm sure going to prison in Italy.
Yeah, let's go. It's Italian tax evasion, which means paying taxes.
The court ruled that Ficano is incompatible with the prison regime and that his incarceration makes it impossible for him to follow a weight loss diet.
There's no way. There's simply no way for me to get thin in here. What am I supposed to do?
Just covered in fucking all the croissant dust.
I mean, why did that just don't feed him?
Well, they actually treat their prisoners like human beings. The judges added that his chain smoking, along with his quote unquote massive size, put him at an inevitable risk of death.
He's a murderer.
I mean, you treat one, they really do go for it. Like you got to you treat one this way, you got to treat everyone this way. Equal. It is very much equal.
Oh my God.
As far as I know, I might be totally talking out of my ass there.
So
who knows?
Fat in Italy now. Everyone's just going to be so excited for this. All the prisoners.
In the end, I think that they're so concerned with not being slovenly. Throw judgment on fat people. But in Italy, I do think like the concept is like they are not.
They're beautiful people.
They're very thin. And I don't know what it is. I don't know how.
It's because they don't eat processed food.
I know, but it's more than that. There's something else.
Well, they're walking everywhere.
I know. I watched that
There's no air conditioning.
That stupid fucking Blue Zone show Natalie made me watch.
I don't know anything about
that. It's the show that's all about the areas where like the most people that are live to be 100 like live. Mm-hmm. And each one, they're all like, we don't know how they have such longevity. Oh, it's in the southern Italy where they don't have to have a job, where they just like everybody takes care of themselves and it's all walking and eating fresh fucking the most delicious food directly from the ground. And you're like,
yeah,
they're fucking fine.
You either fish, sell fish, or eat fish.
That's
those are the three jobs.
You wonder why we're all stressed and working ourselves to death.
And in Italy, even their prisons are fucking beautiful tourist attractions. Some prisons in Italy are located in historical buildings such as old fortresses or monasteries. Regina Coeli, the best-known prison in Rome, was previously a Catholic convent built in 1654.
Holy shit.
That doesn't sound nice.
Yeah, but, okay, you know, but when you still, go, conflict. If you're visiting, it's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I did go, when we were in Paris, I did go visit Marie Antoinette's cell.
That was awesome.
And it was awesome, but it also was not super comfy.
No.
No, it was weird, especially when they told the story about, you know, the head and all that. We'll get into it with our French Revolution series. I don't want to ruin that because it's like one of the best stories of the entire French Revolution.
It is a good story.
Yeah. But yeah, prisons in Italy, like they have, kind of a bill of rights. They have to have healthy food.
That's amazing.
They spend at least 2 hours outdoors every day.
Aren't these guys supposed to be fascists?
Well,
that was a long time ago.
No, and they are now. They're far right. Well, they're not technically fascist. They're just far right that are leaning towards fascists. Because when we were in Italy a couple of years ago, they did have fascists in charge. Yeah. And then nobody seemed to care. Everyone was just like, I remember that one guy. He was like,
we have been run by the fascists. We have been run by the communists. And it does not affect the people of Italy.
And you're like, where are you from? And she goes, you touching my wife's leg.
Well, Italy's current government is considered the most right wing since, Mussolini.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's as close as it gets.
Yeah. That was like the first time I ever saw like lots of Antifa graffiti was when I was in Italy.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting country because it seems to be disorganized because the people don't really reflect what's going on with the government.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I still can't wait to go back.
I can't wait to go back.
I've never been. I want to go.
You got to go.
I got to go. I'm going to go to Rome.
Oh, Rome's the best.
Yeah, you're great. You're going to love that fresh piss smell. Yeah.
I mean, I lived in New York for 16 years. I know.
It's the same exact smell. It's awesome.
I know fresh piss. I know it from old.
I make it every day.
You got to go to the Carpuccian. What is it? The
Cappuccino with the
monastery?
The monastery
they got all the bones in the basement.
It was awesome. I was going to take pictures, but I took one on the slide, but then I didn't want to show it.
There was a lady there, like a French lady, and I saw she was trying to like sneakily take a picture. I was like, I'll block. And I went and stood like this, like,
She's like, I must take a picture before this bear of a man. He steals me.
Fly from your grave.
Well, I got a very interesting grave robbing story.
Yay! Oh, back into it!
On point!
Yeah, got very much back into it. Not a necrophilia story, but this is a very interesting grave robbing story for one reason that sort of goes under the headlines. It goes under the radar as to why this story is so interesting.
Okay.
St. Louis County prosecutors say two men are facing charges after they tried to dig up one of their grandmother's remains from an area cemetery.
Okay, so far I understand.
These guys, their names are Jimmy Allen and Zebulon Nash.
Okay.
But what's interesting about them is that they're digging up their grandmother, but they're both 73 years old.
Whoa. They just want to ask how heaven is. Where should they park?
I mean, their grandmother had to have died 20, 30 years before, maybe more. So why are they digging up the body? Was it that she was buried with some jewels?
Well, Nash, apparently he told the police that he was trying to recover his grandmother's remains to relocate her. And my boy was just helping me.
But they were both the same age.
Yeah.
They're brothers.
I guess he calls his brother his boy.
No, he didn't say that, but I'm just saying. He was just a boy. He came out, he was helping me. But the thing is, he was saying to relocate the ashes. I feel like this is a long story that we are just now, like, at the end of. Like, if we met Zebulon Nash, this is going to be a long night.
Yeah.
Where he's going to explain why.
At that point, why not just get her exhumed?
I think it costs money. Why pay for it when you can do it yourself?
Does it cost money to get someone...
It has to. Someone's got to dig her up.
Yeah, because if you did it for free, people would be doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm moving from St. Louis to Minnesota.
I want
to
bring Ma.
I want to bring Ma. I don't want to have to come all the way back here. So, yeah, I'd imagine it takes a lot of cash.
That's why you're going to need to save on each paycheck. So, if you look at this, these costs tend to range between $5,000 and $15,000. So, that's how much it costs to exhume a body. It says right here, exhume a body process. You can buy the form to do it from, I guess, attorneydocs.com. For only $25.
Okay.
You can fill out that form, get your mama exhumed. Let's see them dead ass titties.
They're going to be gone. Long, long gone by
then. Fake.
Yeah, it's how long it's been. They're just going to be sitting comfortably on the fucking skeleton.
See, that's valuable.
Yeah.
That's like, if you could reuse those last for a long time.
Well, a lot of the silicone ones are being thrown out because of the leaking.
Oh.
The old ones are stopping. Now they're doing saline, and the truly uncommon ones, the borscht ones.
There's that are borscht?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, borscht.
Cold beet soup.
Yes.
It's in Ukraine.
Yeah,
it's Ukraine and Poland.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how lifelike it is. You know, it's like, you know, you guys were in sketch comedy for a long time, and,
yeah.
you know, and you found those like weird things.
They're
like,
analogous that
yeah,
work.
Yeah, yeah. That work is like, oh, yeah, like, you know, blood, corn syrup, and food coloring. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't think that would work. You wouldn't think that looks real. But
sometimes,
it does.
If you imagined a woman's breasts as two bags of a more thicker consistency borscht,
mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, number one, it'll help some people that are afraid of commitment get past that fear. And I think the other side is just understanding no matter what happens to, with you and your wife, if you got to, you just cut off one of them nipples and you got sweet, delicious borscht if you're starving.
I can't tell if you're lying to me or not.
I am lying. Do you really think, honestly, Eddie,
I don't know if it works.
Breast implants with borscht.
Borscht.
Yeah, it can't be.
I've only had borscht once or twice.
I don't like it.
I loved it.
I love borscht.
Yeah.
But that does raise an interesting question. You ever seen that Herschel Gordon Lewis movie, Gore Gore Girls?
No.
Great exploit. It's an exploitation classic. But there is one scene in which the killer comes in and he cuts off a woman's nipples. Or not he. I mean, I don't want to spoil it. But, you know, it's like they cut off the woman's nipples. And out of one, shoots a bunch of milk.
Yeah.
And the other one, chocolate milk.
Oh, interesting.
I think I sent a text to you once of the scene.
Only in my dreams. Only in my dreams, man. Yeah, no, don't work like that.
And then she, you know, boiled. And then the killer, like, boiled the victim's head. And, like, the victim was, like, boiling a bunch of French fries on the stove. And so she got, you know, her face shoved into the French fries. Yeah, Herschel Gordon Lewis, he's a sleeper. You should check him out.
He's great.
Yeah, except for the gruesome twosome. That one's just okay. That's one about like a guy and his crazy mother, and they run a wig shop together. And so they lure college girls into their wig shop so they can kill them and shave their hair and sell their hair as wigs.
You're the busiest person I know. How do you find the time to watch?
These are over all the years.
I spend a lot of time alone.
Yeah. Honestly, I watch
with
a lot of
like
movies.
Me and Carolina, like we do, this is what we do,
yeah.
you know, together.
Yeah,
you know, we fill our time.
He was the guy who did Blood Feast, which I believe is the first movie that had like visible blood effects.
Like a lot of gore, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of gore.
Blood Feast is an absolute classic.
It's funny because now you watch it, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
But Gore Gore Girls, because Gore Gore Girls also has a... It has a cameo by Henny Youngman.
Yeah.
Which,
now I have to see it.
You gotta see it.
Now you have to see it. Yeah.
I love Henny Youngman.
Take my wife's nipples.
Oh,
please.
It was an old fun story from Jeff when he was going to the Friars Club all the time, and he was behind Henny Youngman one day, and Henny had no idea he was there. And there was a pigeon just flew in front of him. He's like, hold my messages. And he's literally just doing bits on the streets of Nope to birds.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I have this disease. That's so funny.
But yeah, the Gore Gore Girls, it's, you know, there's some problematic parts, but for the most part, it's a pretty fun. If you're into exploitation horror, like, and you know what exploitation horror
means,
is,
like
what
it actually
what that means
yeah.
and what it is. Then, yeah, it's a great one. It's a
man,
classic.
I used to watch, we rented Bloodsucking Freaks so many times when I was a kid. And
yeah.
I don't think I remember a minute of it, but I remember we rented it constantly.
I'd never seen Bloodsucking Freaks. 1976.
It's very old.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We should do a watch.
Honestly, that could be cool.
I would love to relive that.
And
Microwave Massacre, too. I need to rewatch that one. We have this place called 16,000 Movies, and like 8,000 of them are horror movies. And we just used to go there all the fucking time.
That's great. Yeah, we need to watch Red Meat again, too.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, but it ends great.
It really does. It's Donald Pleasance. You know, it's like, it's got everything that you want.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Let's do it together.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, let's have like, because that's my thing, is 70s horror movies. I love 70s horror movies.
I need to get back into that more than this. The new shit's fun, but like, the 70s are the best time for movies.
Well, it really, and why would that not follow for horror?
I feel like the 80s, though, horror, in my estimation, has only gotten better in terms of like, it's the last bastion of independent film, so it's like really fun ideas coming out in horror. But what I love is the legacy of all of these, like the entire genre is so huge.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff and there's stuff for anybody.
Oh, it's just, I just, with modern horror, I just cannot watch one more fucking movie where grief is the main.
Well, the idea is the hereditary. Hereditary started that and then kept it going, and it can come back.
I think Babadook started because Babadook
was before Hereditary.
Yeah,
and then Hereditary like shot that up.
Oh, yeah. Hereditary was unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, it's an unbelievable movie.
Talk to Me is great.
Talk to Me is great.
That's the first.
I'm scared of that one. I haven't seen it.
It's great. You'd love it. It's so good.
It's one of the first like Zoomer horror movies that I've come to enjoy.
Yeah,
that I really, really, it's very, very good.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Don't Look Around, Don't Look Back, or Don't Look Around, Don't Look There? It's Donald Sutherland. It's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Don't Look Back.
Don't. No, it's the title actually.
Don't Look At Me.
Away. Don't Look Away. No, that's not it.
You met Donald Sutherland, right?
Oh, man. I was on a flight.
Don't Look Now.
Don't Look Now.
Yeah. And it's, you know where it's set? Italy.
Ah!
Yeah, it's 7 minutes. It's another very, very slow burn, but I think it's right up your alley. It's a grief movie. I'll admit that. Okay. That's why I thought of it. But yeah, it is a grief movie, but I think you'd like it.
I was on a plane. It was first class. I was coming back from work from doing Pretty Face. And next to me was Donald Sutherland, and he had a big air tank, right? So he had a big tank on. He was struggling. He came in and he sat there. And again, I wasn't going to say anything. I'm not saying anything to, you know, Donald Sutherland.
But he's so cool.
He's a legend.
He's fine. He leans over and he's like, "These bastards expect me to work until I'm in the grave." It's like the first thing he said. So I was just like, "What?" And he's just like, "They think I'm a young man doing these Hunger Games out here tied to a pole. All sorts of weather. Cold. Heat. I'm an old man. I should be doing this anymore." And I'm sitting like, you know, just like, "My son brings home these women. I'm sick of these women." And I was just like, "Kiefer Sutherland? Your very famous son?"
He's like, "Oh, you know him."
Yeah.
"Kiefer.
Always disappointing. I'll be dead. And they'll all be laughing." He was like,
"I named him after the yogurt I have to eat now.
Kiefer. Get the acidophilus."
My God, I just open up. If I was sitting next to Donald Sutherland and he like approached me of like they, I would open up his IMDb and just start going through and be like, "What about this one? What about this one? What about this one?"
The problem was I was just, I literally, he monologued at me.
Yeah.
For like an hour, but I didn't want to say anything because he was just talking. He was literally just being like, "Got this tank." "No. Because I can't breathe. How am I supposed to do the hours they expect me to do?"
Like, when you were on The Simpsons, like, how cool is that? Because I love that. It's one of my favorite, leads to the Iconoclast, is one of my favorite Simpsons episodes.
"I'm an old man. Why are you playing games if you're hungry?
You were brilliant in MASH. You were so good in MASH. I just love you so much in MASH. You were just so good.
They used to be, shorter time before there were meal breaks. Now it's 6.5 hours, these unions." It's like, Jesus, Don. So I don't know. You didn't say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Don't Look Now. Like, I mean, it's like full nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie.
Oh, full, Julie Christie's beautiful.
Yeah. Full nudity. And the story behind that is that they had to do the sex scene the first day of shooting.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
They hadn't met each other.
See,
at
that's
all.
His butt.
Well, he shows his butt in Animal House.
Yeah.
That's, oh, God. Wow, that is a. I typed in Donald Sutherland nude and it went straight to it. Ooh, man, he did it when he was an old guy. Yeah. And hoo ha. Wow.
I bet he's got a long one.
"My son didn't get my genes."
Yeah, not thick, but long.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an exciting episode.
Hasn't it? Are we to the end?
I guess no. We do have one more story we can cover. We have this other one.
I mean, we have one. Do you want to do desecration or sex doll?
Sex doll!
Because this does somewhat work into our necrophilia episodes, tangentially.
Great.
A funeral home worker responsible for transporting dead bodies in a Nebraska county is suspected of having an intimate encounter with a life-size sex doll he found in the apartment of a deceased person. This was one of those, like, $10,000, extremely real, talk to me, like, you know, putting the limbs in different silicone.
"You really know how to turn me on." "Thank you, Marcus, for all of the pleasure you're giving me."
"Marcus, you have such a big one."
So who complained?
Well, investigators say Ryan Smith, 41, and a colleague were dispatched last week to a home at the Rock Creek Apartments in Omaha to collect the body of an individual who died there. An investigator reported near the body on the bed was a very real life-size sex doll. Police allege that Smith subsequently called the property manager and claimed that the local sheriff had asked him to remove the sex doll to collect swabs for biopsy.
You know how normally they ask a funeral home assistant to come in and clear evidence out of a room, the police directly? Yeah. I gotta get in there because you know how it is. They don't want to deal with all this nastiness.
Well, how'd the person die?
It doesn't say, but Smith's strange request was denied by the manager, who later returned to the apartment to discover that Smith was still inside the unit, which had been locked with a deadbolt and chain. After Smith exited the home with his shirt untucked and his pants in disarray, the property manager called the cops, who later busted Smith on a felony burglary charge. A post-arrest examination revealed the sex doll to be, quote unquote, sticky. And it appeared that, quote, something had rubbed her inner thighs.
And a deputy collected the sex doll, he said, so that I could have her processed for DNA. He did more work on the sexually assaulted doll than he might do for a human being.
They're doing far more to see if this man fucked the doll than they did. I think what they're looking for is like cause.
Yeah.
Like they have to prove that we can fire this guy.
Well, think about this, right? You're a funeral home worker. You got all these sexy ass corpses just laying around, right? All day long, teasing you, tempting you.
Yeah.
Right? And they're just being, just laying there, right? You know, sexy. And then all of a sudden, you go into some other place where some guy died, boring, right? And you're like, I already seen his fucking dick, right? He's dead. But then you see, just laying right there in the same exact position, is you're like, ooh, mama, I can't get in trouble for fucking that one, right? I get to go fuck that doll.
Well, to his credit, he did try to remove it. He did try to lie his way into getting it into his own apartment.
To his credit?
Yeah.
It's
just, it's going to go in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not like his nephew wants this thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be passed down from family member to family member as a treasured heirloom.
Why
it's going to go in
though?
The fucking dumpster.
That's your grandmother.
Well, I mean, what he should have done is he should have staked out the dumpster behind the apartment complex.
Yeah.
Because that's where all that shit's going to go. It's just going to go right into the dumpster, stake it out. I used to know a guy who used to stake out the dumpsters at the mall back in Lubbock so he could steal all the Victoria's Secrets cutouts when those went, and he would take them to his home and put them on the wall.
That is just
You meet some interesting people when you work at a comic book store.
Oh, yeah. God. But this is the thing, is that the guy, this sex doll, they're not going to throw it out. The hotel staff is going to take it as
a
funny joke.
It's this guy's apartment.
But someone's going to take it as a funny joke.
No.
It's you dealt with someone else's cum. Not if you get the hose. And you shoot it out. You take the pussy, you spread it out. You shoot the fucking cum out the pussy.
It's so hard to dry out the insides of this thing.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
I
guess there has to be a cleaning process.
Marcus? Yeah.
As far as fleshlights and all these sorts of
dolls. A lot of them have removable vaginas.
Yeah. My fleshlight, you could pull it out and you could really, you could wash the fuck out of that
thing.
I'm
going to go look it up.
You need
to. Real doll cleaning process.
I think it has those butt flaps. You just pull down. But
yeah,
it's
sex doll maintenance. And how often do I need to clean my doll?
Every time.
I would go in there, yeah. How do I clean my doll's body?
You take it and you rinse it.
Also, do your best to pull out.
Just clean every 14 days.
No, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I'm fucking this thing.
Yeah.
I'm coming inside of it.
Yeah, you pull it out.
The process isn't worth it.
It's
okay,
not
here
that
we go.
Hard.
Okay, how do I clean my doll's holes? Cleaning her vagina, anus, and mouth is a delicate process with several techniques to expose these areas for cleaning.
No bleach.
No.
Of course not.
Coat a small swab sponge with warm water and antibacterial soap. You can now use this sponge to clean the orifices. Insert the sponge using medical pincers into the orifice until it is clean. You can now.
Yeah. So you started reading this.
Yeah, because if you don't clean it, it gets pretty bad.
You can dispose of this sponge and now repeat steps 1 and 2 above again. After 2 swabs, the orifices should be clean, allowing you to insert a second dry sponge to remove any excess soap or moisture. Once you have successfully dried the doll, you can apply talcum powder to the exterior, so the exterior of the orifice. All done. Your doll should now be clean and free from any bacteria or dirt. Yeah. You can remove its head and wig. Just you work on its head.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just shake the cum out of its neck.
But the problem with it, though, is that, I mean, I would imagine if you have a real-life sex doll, you're not going to have a roommate. But with a fleshlight, the problem is that to clean it, you got to take it to the bathroom.
Or the kitchen sink's probably better.
No, you don't want to do the kitchen sink because that's a shared, you want to use the bathtub.
Oh,
because
yes.
In the bathtub, everything goes.
You just want to go away. You just want to go far away. You want to go to a motel and do it there.
Well, you just can't carry it past your roommate. That's
one
the
of those
problem.
Laundry sinks would be perfect.
Yeah. A laundry sink. Oh, yeah. I got one of those in my garage.
Yeah. The big plastic tub with the fucking long nozzle.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jam it right up in there. Let it run right through.
Oh, yeah. In New York, we didn't have that, though.
This whole thing.
No.
After enjoying your happy time with the love doll, be sure to take a bath with her. Please rinse with water and cold water. I guess that's what you do. You just bring it in there and you just wash it with yourself. You know, and then you go, God, it's so lonely.
It's going to get sweaty.
This part of Quora is bad. This part of Quora is not good.
No part of Quora is good. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Oh, God. I don't mind it. If you want to have sex, honestly, it would be kind of cool to do. It might be fun. Last podcast on the left, real dolls.
Oh, my
Either
God.
Cryptid pussies. Cryptid buttholes. My friend Doug Sackman was working on monster dicks for a long time.
I think it should be you.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Set those out.
My horrendous butthole.
Oh,
God. And call it, yes.
You ever wanted to take Henry from behind?
Have you ever tried the Polish challenge? You know, look, right. Yes. Yeah.
But your butt's so flat, though.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
That's why it makes it unique.
Yeah, you get right to the hole. Yeah.
No, if anyone's getting a butt made, it's me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
No, I say we give them what they deserve, not what they want.
Okay, I agree. I agree. But I'm just talking about, you know, QC, quality control.
In order to have sex with me, you have to find the scenes from Deliverance, like, sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I got a Ned Beatty back.
You do have a Ned Beatty body.
Yeah. And you know, so if you want to go to town on Ned Beatty and make him squeal and scream, I guess it do. Last Podcast to the Left, real butt is for you. So go down to lastpodcastmerch.com and try it out for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Get that rush to your house right now. Try the Polish challenge.
Strap the Henry ass to your chair. And you can go ass to ass with Henry Zebrowski you're doing your work.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, just to keep you stress-free in the holiday season, go ass to ass with Henry Zebrowski.
No, I think it's so flat. What would be really good at is like a, you know, the little gel thing on a mouse pad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you rest your wrist.
Yeah.
So you use that.
Just glue some hair to that.
Try Henry Zebrowski carpal tunnel butt. Nothing will make your workday more at ease than the soft, slow, low slope of Henry Zebrowski's Polish butt. You're gonna love it. Well, this has been a great episode.
It has been.
Happy fucking Thanksgiving.
Happy
it's coming next. Oh, God. All right. Yeah. Go to Operation Sunshine.
If you want to base Henry.
If you want to base Henry, go to lastpodcastmerch.com. We're going to have a sale.
Yeah.
Then you go to go get your local, go to your local comic book store and ask for Operation Sunshine number 2 by name. They are there. They are ready to go.
It's out right now. I saw a copy of it.
The new one?
Copy of Earth 2 yesterday. It was so cool to see.
I also like to make an announcement because I can now. I was in a movie.
Wow.
And I want you to go and see it. It is a Christmas movie. Obviously, people are already giving me shit about the fact that it's a Christmas movie, even though I dislike Christmas, but it's the best part. I play somebody who hates Christmas in a Christmas movie.
Good.
It is really fun. It's called How to Ruin the Holidays. And right now, it is out
The Lemley.
It's at the Lemley NoHo. Yeah. So if you're in town, if you're in Los Angeles, go check it out. And this is another guilt side of this. If you don't even care about the movie, go support the Lemley because they are all... They're fucking destroying all of them
soon, yeah.
And it's horrible. So maybe give them a reason to maybe stay open, which would be nice. Love the Lemley. I love all those theaters. It's also at the Plaza in Atlanta. And it is going to be, we're going to have a pretty, it's not a national run, but a pretty big run. And then in December, we're going to go VOD. So I'm going to put it out there. It's called How to Ruin the Holidays. I think it's really funny. It's an R-rated comedy that is directed by Arlen Kotopaki and written by my good friend Kevin Galese, who was one of the artistic directors of Dad's Garage.
How was Colin Mockery?
The best.
Yeah?
It's great. Very funny. Very
sweet.
Can't
believe you've kept this under your hat this whole time that you did a movie with Colin Mockery. You never told us.
I love Colin Mockery.
He's the best.
He's great.
He's as funny as you think he is.
Whose line was it anyway?
His.
Cool.
He used the lead. But he did a great job, and I want you guys to go check that shit out.
Let's go watch it together.
Yeah, we can.
I would love that.
We're little actors.
Look at you.
I'm an actor. I got a letter from SAG-AFTRA begging me to give them money, and I said no.
You might have to. Wow. You might have to.
I just sent them money finally.
You got to. Got to, because it's a union town, Bubby.
I know, but I'm not an actor.
But you do act every day, don't you? In a way.
Not in movies or TV.
All the world's a stage.
Not in movies or TV?
No, I'm saying here.
Movies or TV? No, this is a studio that we paid for.
Interesting.
I got no money from studios to build this. I never got any investment from a studio.
But we're looking for it. So, Paramount, we're ready for you.
The moment that I have to, I will. Yes. I'm not a scab.
We're looking for it.
The moment I have to, I will. But until that day comes, we'll keep it as a nice little souvenir.
I think you're right.
I just got good with SAG. I'm excited to get my DVDs.
Yeah, I want my DVDs back.
Oh, the DVDs that are already streaming?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so annoying. They say all these elaborate Netflix movies on DVD.
It's like, why are you doing this? All right. Hail Satan.
Huggy.
Hail Ham.
Goodbye. See you soon. Oh, yeah. When we come back, we're going to have a fucking big old series. We're doing a big dark history series. And we got a bunch of weirdness coming up in January. I'm very excited for you.
It's going to be cool.
Rock and roll, baby.
Bye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.